To kick off each hour of our pledge drive with prayer, we've asked the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of Atlanta to lead us in prayer.
This is Riley Gilmore
and Henry German,
eighth graders from St. Jude the Apostle Catholic School.
Our favorite things about St. Jude are band
and that we get to have a religious activity every Friday.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
O most holy apostle St. Jude,
faithful servant and friend of Jesus, the name of the traitor who delivered your beloved master into the hands of his enemies has caused you to be forgotten by many. But the Church honors and invokes you universally as the patron of hopeless cases, of things almost despaired of. Come to my assistance in this great need, that I may receive the consolation and help of heaven in all my necessities, tribulations, and sufferings, particularly, and that I may praise God with you and all the elect forever. I promise, O blessed St. Jude, to be ever mindful of this great favor, to always honor you as my special and powerful patron, and to gratefully encourage devotion to you. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Listen to 1160 AM, The Quest.
And we are back here on the Pledge Drive, AM 1160, The Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive. I'm Dave Savage, the programming and production manager here at The Quest, and we got another hour. Before we get into this hour here, we got some people anxious to get going here, but I just want to thank a few people. Diane from Brazelton, we thank you very much, a monthly donor. Jack from Roswell, thank you. Eileen from Marietta, thank you. And Maria from Marietta, thank you very much. We and all those came in on the 9 o'clock hour, so they will be matched dollar for dollar from that corporate sponsor. So we do appreciate that. So before I just mention one more time that if you want to donate, you can call in 470-508-1160. You can go to the Quest Atlanta app or thequestatlanta.com. And all donors, whether you're a monthly donor, one-time donor, whatever it is, any amount, as a thank you for that donation, you're going to receive a Magnificat magazine. It's just one magazine, not the whole subscription, but you get one complimentary copy, and that's a cool thing. If you already subscribe to it, you can give it to somebody else and bring them along in their faith. So anyway, without further delay here, why don't we introduce Mark and Natalie Ubelacker. How you doing this morning?
Good morning. Very good.
Thank you.
Good to see you. And why don't you explain a little bit of what's going on here this morning? We've got another person in the room, too.
We do. So a few months ago when Carol asked if Natalie and I would co-host, we were on a year ago as the guest. When she told us that the topic was the benefits of Catholic education, I told Natalie, I says, we need to say yes. We have three children that have gone to St. Jude. Two went to Blessed Trinity, and now we have one that's a junior at St. Pius. And when Carol and I were speaking about who the guest could be, God intervened. And
as usual.
As usual. And a few nights later, we had what was called mini class night at St. Pius. And I know there's several parents out there that have been to a mini class night, but basically, you walk through your children's school day at a Catholic school and you spend 7 minutes in each class and you sit in their desks and you meet their teachers and you learn about their curriculum for the year. Well, when we were getting weary after about seven classes, we walked into a classroom playing Casey and the Sunshine Band, and we said, I don't know what class this is or who the teacher is, but this seems fun. And that's when we met Mr. Dennis Ruggiero. He has a name kind of like Ubelacker. It's a little hard to pronounce. And it just hit me. And I thought, you know, who knows better the benefits of Catholic education? Dennis has been a theology teacher 30 years at St. Pius.
Wow.
So I did the math, and he's taught at over 1,000 students. So what we wanted to talk about today is just how Catholic education, you know, forms our young children for the future, for college and beyond, and just how creating that environment and just is, you know, helping them in the future. So Dennis is a member of St. Catherine of Siena, married with two children. And I guess, Dennis, we'll just start, you know, you could just share some of the things we were talking about earlier about,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
you spend more time than our children, you know, speaking about theology than even we do.
Yeah, probably more about 7,500 students.
75, okay.
Over 30 to 36 years of teaching.
Wow.
Started when you were 10.
I started when I was about 14, yeah. thanks, Dave, I appreciate that. No, I think what's really, really important, you know, theology classes, it's an academic setting, you know, and so how do you bring in Jesus? How do you bring in the Lord, right, within that academic framework, right? And there are quizzes, there are tests, obviously, right? It's a real academic rigor course, right? It's a theology course. But at the same time, I think what's really important is that you want to be able to balance that with some kind of opportunity for kids to experience the Lord in a way that's just not academic, right? So the school is fantastic and supportive in offering retreats. There are four different pilgrimages a year that the students go to. The juniors just went over to the monastery last Tuesday, a week ago today, over in Conyers, and mm-hmm. it's a perfect opportunity for them. Yesterday, I just started talking about monasticism, and I was able to use that their experience, you know, to kind of make it more relatable. But speaking of relatability, I think the most important thing is how do I relate the Lord? How do I relate Christ, His love, His kindness, His mercy, in a very, very real way, right, to each of our students? A lot of our students right now are not going to church. I think I shared with the parents that night at mini class night that when I first started teaching back in 1987 at a Marist school down in South Florida, an all boys Catholic high school, I think over 74% of our families were going to Mass on a weekly basis. And that's definitely not the case anymore. It's close to 20% right now, sadly. And our students are not being exposed to the truth. Our students are not being exposed to going to church, going to Mass. And so that's really where the challenge is. I pray for the laity all the time, every morning on my way to work. I pray for all the ministries and the laity. But I ask the Lord for a special blessing on theology teachers, because we really are on the front lines, right? Sure. We're the ones being asked about the moral questions and all the craziness that's going on in the world. So the challenge for theology teachers, and as well as parents too, right, is, you know, what can we do? What tools can we use? What things can we do to give ownership to our kids in terms of their relationship with Christ in the church? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that was one thing, Dennis, that stuck out at me that night. You said, these kids are hungry. They're hungry for the truth. And I think as parents, when we go out in the real world, I don't know that we believe that. And we kind of get sucked into the secular world and, you know, maybe think, oh, that ship has sailed. But in you, what you're helping them with is having a personal relationship, which will want them to go to church. You don't want your kids to be forced, because they're going to leave us and have to make their own decisions one day. So
I've always said that to my kids. I'm not going to force you to do this, but you know, whether it's church, whether it's scouts, whatever, you know, I mean, luckily, you know, from the grace above, they're both interested, and you know, they're young adults now and still interested. So
yeah, I would definitely say that kids are seekers. Kids want to take ownership. I think kids are hungry. They want to know what the truth is. They have this thing called this cell phone, and everything on it, anything that they want, is at their disposal at a moment's notice. That sometimes is good. A lot of times it's not so good. So they can be exposed to a lot of things that are not of the truth. Mm-hmm. But I think they're hungry, and I see it in the classroom. When given the opportunity for kids to experience the Lord, I mean, they're going to grab it. They're going to grab it. Whenever it's interesting, when we do a school-wide Mass at St. Pius, which is fantastic, kids will start walking in the hallways, coming back, singing whatever recessional song that there was. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had kids literally walking into my classroom singing whatever recessional song it was, because they really, really desire good liturgy. They'll go to Mass, right? I don't want to say they'll go to Mass if it's good, but there's got to be something there, right, that's going to attract them more and more. Of course,
connect.
That's going to be good liturgy. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the word. That's going to be, you know, the priest that will engage them as much as possible. They're hungry for sure.
And when you say they're hungry, they're not just hungry for theology and all that, but they're hungry for knowledge in general across the board on many things. And so I think I'm going to just jump in here real quick and say You know, it's important, I think, at that stage, especially, you know, the school age and everything, but shortly after, it's very important as well, which is why the Quest is doing this program called Honest to God. Mm-hmm. It's a show for young adults by young adults. And I think that that's a crucial point in somebody's life, too, when they're, you know, they get out into the real world, they're not under mom and dad's roof anymore, that, you know, they make decisions at that point. Mm-hmm. And there isn't anything, I shouldn't say there isn't anything, but there's not a whole lot out there for that demographic that speaks to them from a Catholic and a Christian point of view. This program that we've done is, I mean, I'm just amazed at the success. It's about a year old now. It's got a YouTube channel and everything, videos, and it's amazing. And I'm hijacking your conversation here, but I just wanted to mention that that's the kind of thing that the Quest is doing. You know, we're getting involved with the young people, which is important to keep them to the faith. And if you want to keep that going, if you want to have content for school age or even, you know, young adults, we do need your support. This is the Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive. And if you want to make a pledge, we're looking for 100 new monthly donors, or an increase. If you're already a monthly donor, if you could increase that just a little bit, it really makes it, the monthly donors are really shooting for that because it makes it easier for us to budget things and say, okay, we know we have this much coming in. But if you could do that, call 470-508-1160. You can go to the Quest Atlanta app that's already on your phone. It should be anyway. And thequestatlanta.com. So 470-508-1160. And we got a long list here. Hold on. I'm sorry. I just want to mention a few other people. Maria from Marietta, thank you for being a monthly donor. We also want to thank Terry and Jen from Sandy Springs. We want to thank Stephanie from Marietta. We want to thank Rebecca from Lilburn. And this one, in honor of Mark and Natalie, great topic, says Margaret of Coconut Creek, Florida. Hey. All right.
Thank you, Peggy.
Well, that's my home turf back there. I'm actually from Miami, a little south of you, Margaret.
And also Donald from Wellington, Florida.
Oh, wow. The whole Ubelacker family.
There we go.
Chipping in. Thank you.
And also in honor of Dennis, thanks for your witness, brother, says Andy from Ackworth.
Yeah, I know who that Andy guy is.
So thank you very much, all of you, for donating and pledging some money.
You know, going back to the topic of kids being hungry, you know, you also have to look at the parishes and what they're doing also. And they're providing, whether it's Life Teen or some other ministry, a lot of good things there. And, you know, if, you know, my suggestion would be, you know, if your son or daughter, and I'm going to ask also the grandparents listening, you know, if your grandchild is not going to Mass, you know, invite them to go to Mass. Say, you know, even if it's once a month, you know, say, hey, would you mind coming to Mass with me? We'll go to breakfast afterwards, or we'll go to lunch afterwards. And if you just start off that relationship with your grandchildren in that way, you know, and give them the opportunity to see your faith life, right? And open up maybe some channels of communication. That goes a long way. The Holy Spirit will definitely work through you as a grandparent, you as a parent, aunt, uncles. The challenge is out for you as well. Yeah. So there's the Lord is willing, right? We just have to cooperate with Him, I think, right?
I agree. Dennis, you had said something. So after I asked Dennis if he would join us this morning, we both ended up in the end zone at three Fridays in a row at St. Pius football games. So we had a lot of time to discuss being on the radio today. And you had mentioned that, you know, if you're a parent, grandparent, and your child is not active in their faith, not going to church, that you said that flame is still there.
Yeah.
They are baptized. That flame is there. What can we do as an example to make that flame brighter? And we have to be patient because it's different for everyone. You know, we've been blessed, Dave, kind of like you had said, that, you know, our kids went to Catholic school. They had kind of that nurturing environment, and they're both, our oldest daughters are at Auburn now, and it has a very rich environment there, the Catholic center, the church, and they're going on their own because they want to, but that's not true for everyone. And sometimes it's later in life when God is going to speak to them and pull them back to the church.
Yeah, surrender surrender them to the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. Know that this is God's ministry. This is, we want to build the kingdom of heaven, right? We want our children to come to have relationship with the Lord, right? To come to have relationship with Jesus. So we're looking for conversion. So understand that, first of all, God knows our hearts. And, you know, if we ask the Lord to just take our children, right, and to pray for their conversion and to pray for them, not so much to be successful in the world. I mean, success, you know, to me, I define it with my students as, you know, you're happy, you know who you are, right? To me, that's what success is, right? For their success in that way, in regards to their faith relationship with the Lord. That's the first thing, I think, is to recognize that God's got this, right? You know, we're going to give it to the Lord, and Lord, these are your kids, whether they're 15 or 16, or whether they're in their 30s and their 40s, and they've been away from the church for quite some time, right? I always use the word ownership. I think students, young people, in their 20s even, they want to take ownership of what they believe. And I tell parents a lot that, you know, maybe their faith will look a little bit different than our faith, right? Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That's okay. It doesn't have to be exactly like us, right? As long as they're on the boat, you know, as long as they're on the boat and that boat is sailing, that's what we really want, right? And the Lord will take care of the rest from there.
You know, and I've heard a lot, I feel like I'm, you know, shameless plug here, but I just want to say, we played a clip earlier when Vito was here this morning of Father Nadolski, who was talking about when he was at a parish that had a Catholic radio station, and he at first thought, well, Catholic radio, who listens to that? We're taking a second collection every quarter for this church, for this radio. Nobody's listening. Who would listen to that? Well, then he started doing confessions there. And every time somebody was away from the faith, it was their first confession in 10, 20, 30 years, he would ask them, what brought you back? And they're like, the Catholic radio station.
Wow.
That's what brought me back.
How about that?
Yeah.
And he said it didn't just happen once or twice. He said it happened time and time again. And he is now a firm believer in Catholic radio and a staunch supporter of the Quest, and we really do appreciate that. So if you would like to keep this going, bring in a loved one. Maybe you have a loved one who's away from the faith. Maybe the Quest is what's going to bring them back. We need your support to keep this going. 470-508-1160. You can go to the Quest Atlanta app, which is already on your phone. You can go to thequestatlanta.com. And once again, you can call 470-508-1160.
Father Tim Nadolski, a fine example of a student from St. Pius High School.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, yes. I taught him. Yeah. Not that I'm not taking any credit. I'm not taking any credit, but yeah, one of my former students. He's doing great things in Ackworth.
He is. He's awesome.
Well, I was thinking about that too, is, you know, in the past when your students would graduate, you know, unless it was a reunion, you maybe weren't communicating. In today's world, you can know, you know, where those kids are, and I'm sure they can, you know, interact and communicate with you more. So, you know, you could almost help them even after they've graduated and moved on.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think the thing that probably a lot of theology teachers and probably campus ministers and those who work, you know, just generally in ministry is we always use the phrase, you know, planting seeds. We may not see the fruits right away. Sometimes we do. Retreat experiences, you know, you may see conversions happen, and you know, that's a very, very powerful thing to witness. But I think most times it's just about planting seeds and again, surrendering it to the Lord and letting them take ownership of it. Of course, it's better for one to grow that once those seeds are planted, that you continue to have fellowship with them, right? You continue to reach out to them. You just don't say, okay, you know, you had this great experience, off to the world you go, right? Well, they're going to get eaten alive, right? We are going to get eaten alive unless we are in community with the Lord and in community with each other, I think. That's why community is so important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, I was told going into this pledge drive, they said, you can't give that phone number too many times. Okay. So I'm going to do that one more time. 470-508-1160, 470-508-1160, the Quest for Holiness pledge drive, on AM 1160, the Quest. And, I want to mention too, that I mentioned this last hour, but we've got all these volunteers. You saw all the volunteers that are here. I mean, just about every person out there is a volunteer. And we got people doing hospitality. We got people keeping track of, you know, that are at the call center. They're taking the phone calls, the pledges, all that stuff. These people could be doing any number of things this morning other than working here for no pay. You know, I mean, they could be sleeping. They could be watching. They could be whatever. They could be at the beach. I don't know. But they're here because they feel that it's that important, that they should be here to support this Catholic radio station. And I think if they feel it's that important for them, hopefully the people at home are gonna think, you know what, this is an important mission. We do need to support it. So we're looking for a total of $180,000 between now and Thursday evening. And we need to do $7,500 per hour in order to make that happen. So if you want to call 470-508-1160, and you can go to the Quest Atlanta app, make a donation, or thequestatlanta.com.
Play the lottery. it's pretty high right now. So,
or the money you were going to spend on the lottery, donate it here.
Yeah, I like that idea, too.
Because I think you get more out of it.
I like that idea, too.
Dennis, something we were talking about earlier is engaging the students, and you have a special gift you can maybe share or elaborate on in music. You know, you're in a band, you have musical talent. It's what caught our attention when we walked into your classroom that night that made it a little different. And I know with teens, we're competing for their attention, both I'm sure for you in the classroom and outside. Maybe just elaborate on the music side or anything else you use to engage the students so then you get the message through to them.
Well, I mean, the music that I just play in my class is just to really set a tone that, you're walking into a classroom, you're walking into an environment that is inviting, that's going to be fun, but also will be very, very serious. In terms of, the engaging part, in terms of the spiritual side, again, it's really allowing the students to have a voice, right? So to ask them questions where they critically will have to think about their own life, right? In terms of their relationship with God, where they are in the world. I mean, 15, 16, 17, just think back when you were 15, 16, and 17, I was a mess. I mean, I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just kind of wanted to have fun. At that particular time in my life, I wasn't involved in the church. I wasn't going to mass when I was, 15, 16, and 17, right? But it really wasn't until I myself had the opportunity to ask myself those questions of, what am I doing? Where am I going to go? Where is God in my life? Yes, I came from a pretty traditional Catholic family. We had the bird bath with the Statue of Mary in the front yard. I literally grew up across the street from St. John Vianney Seminary in Miami. Okay. Literally across the street. So I was exposed to Catholic things all of my life, but it really wasn't until I had the opportunity and took ownership, right, of my own faith that it really, really took off. And so in the classroom, okay, you're limited in what you can do in terms of experiential things, right? Because again, it's an academic setting. But every once in a while, like what I do with the class, what I do engage with my students is, I give them an opportunity. Right now we're reading St. Augustine, right? That's mm-hmm. our reflection. Before that, we read some pretty heavy things in the class. They're juniors, right? Your son is in my class. It's a junior class. We are reading Ignatius of Antioch, second century, he's martyred, right? And so we ask those questions, why would somebody want to die for the Lord, right? There has to be that kind of relationship that you're not just saying, I'm willing to live for Christ, but I'm willing to die for Christ as well, right? Not that any of us are really there at that point, at least I know that I'm not, but at least it gives the students an opportunity to look at the questions seriously about their own faith, where they are in the world, their relationship with their family, their relationship with their mother, their father, what they're doing. And I think that at least gives them, if they're honest with themselves, right?
Right.
And I'm assuming that most would. And the responses that I get from the students, I think they're pretty honest, right? That's why I always say they're hungry.
Right.
They're hungry, and I base it on that.
Well, yeah. I was thinking the night we were sitting in your classroom that many parents would love to be a fly on the wall in their own students' classroom yeah. is mm-hmm. I'm assuming they share a lot more than they even do at home. You know, at the end of the day, they're worn out, and we even get sometimes yeah. like, okay, that's enough questions.
I mean, I'm sure they you see a different side to them than what the parents see, right?
Yeah, there's a comfortableness in the classroom. I think there's kind of a natural tendency to, you know, want to express what they believe, and that might be a little bit more difficult at home, because that dynamic's not the same as in the classroom, right? They know me, they trust me, they know us. We have an excellent theology department at St. Pius. I'm so happy we're in a great place at that school. I know some of the other theology teachers at Blessed Trinity, and they do a great job over there. Chuck Price is head of the theology department over there. He's a good guy. Yeah, we're doing it. You know, we're doing ministry. The Lord has called us as lay people to do these things. So,
one thing I've got to know, what was the Casey and the Sunshine Band song that was playing in the classroom?
I think it was "I'm Your Boogeyman." Yes. Is that what it was? Yes. Or one of the other ones. And the thing is, I grew up in the 70s, went to high school. I hated disco.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, I was the guy with the long hair. I'm a drummer, you know. Yeah. I grew up as a drummer. I played keyboards in a rock band, and I hated disco. But I guess as I'm older, it's okay now. You know?
Yeah, I'm okay. The same way. Yeah. The same exact way. We're going to take a little break here, stretch our legs, maybe get a drink. And I want to, there's a whole bunch of people here we got to thank. These donations have been coming in. You guys are doing awesome. Fantastic. So let's do that. Let's take a little break. We'll be right back with this pledge, the Quest for Holiness pledge drive.
You're listening to the Quest for Holiness Fall Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. If you're moved to make a pledge, please call 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. Or you can go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Remember, The Quest is 100% listener supported, and we rely on donations and pledges from people like you to stay on the air. We'll be back to the Quest for Holiness pledge drive shortly on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
The Quest presents The Family Room, sponsored by VerseSprite.
Talking to Randy Hame.
I had success, but I was failing as a husband and a father. I wasn't putting them first. As I grew older, I really got my head around this very simple concept. It's God, family, and work, in that order. And my work is a distant third, but it's always thrived because I put God and family first.
Hear this entire conversation on The Family Room podcast at thequestatlanta.com. New episodes Wednesday morning at 11 on AM 1160, The Quest.
In today's world, cybersecurity is critical for your business. Award-winning VerseSprite provides solutions to protect your company from hackers. For protection now, see VerseSprite.com. That's VerSprite.com. The Quest thanks VerseSprite for their support.
If you're looking for a place to volunteer, you can literally find hundreds of opportunities at various organizations right near where you live. So how do you narrow that down? Well, did you know that AM 1160 The Quest requires many, many volunteers just to stay on the air? Listen to why these people volunteer at The Quest.
Well, it's a great group of people to work with.
There is something really special and holy about volunteering here.
You don't keep coming back to a place for almost, for me anyway, for at least 18 months or so. If there's not a common good, if there's not solid people, and there's not a camaraderie that exists to help promote what it is we're all here to do.
When I showed up, I told them these are my skill sets. Would you like me to help you out with anything? Can I help?
I love it here.
No matter your skill set, we could use your help. To volunteer, just go to thequestatlanta.com and click Contact Us. Thank you in advance from AM 1160, The Quest. Your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
The Quest presents Pro-Life Minutes.
How many times have we heard, my body, my choice? Yes, a woman can do what she wants with her own body. If she really wants a tattoo or to rock that pink hair, by all means, she has that right. However, a woman does not have the right to choose what is going to be done to another person. If she were forced to have pink hair or forced to jump off a bridge, the person who made those decisions for her would have violated her rights. No one would disagree with that. However, when a woman decides to kill her child by having an abortion, that decision doesn't affect only her body, but it also affects another person's body, the body of her child. That choice infringes upon the child's rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. No person's rights are more important than any other person's rights. Let's show the world that every life matters by speaking up for life at every opportunity.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
We've all heard it said before.
Catholics aren't pro-life, they're pro-birth, and it ends there. Pro-lifers don't care about mothers or babies after they're born.
But that's simply not true. Help take away that pro-abortion talking point by supporting Walking with Moms in Need, an initiative helping pregnant and parenting women in need. Your parish is called to help these moms in need. Some parishes in the Archdiocese already have this program in place, providing a variety of assistance to moms, including things like maternity clothing, children's clothing, diapers, and having baby showers for moms who chose life. Your time, talent, and treasure are needed. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops is asking each parish to create their own Walking with Moms in Need program. If your parish has not started the program, ask how you can help start it. To learn more about Walking with Moms in Need and how you can help, go to walkingwithmoms.com.
The Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. Make your pledge or donation by calling 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. Or you can go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Now back to the Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And we're back here on the Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive. I'm Dave Savage, the programming and production manager here. And we've got a pretty good little conversation going here with the Jubilackers, Mark and Natalie, also Dennis Ruggiero.
I've been called a lot of other things, but that's fine.
I knew I was going to mess that up.
No, you're fine.
Just don't call you late for dinner, right? So I want to thank a few people here. Clara in Woodstock, that's in honor of Mark and Natalie. We've got Holly.
Thank you.
We love Mr. Ruggiero, Holly from Atlanta.
Thanks.
So thank you.
I love you, too.
Thank you, Holly. Tom and Kelly from Dunwoody, that's in honor of the Jubilackers and Dennis. Thank you for not making me say his last name again. we got Charlie and Kathy in Sandy Springs. Thank you. We got Aaron in Atlanta. We've got Caroline in Tucker. We've got Deacon Gary in honor of the Jubilackers.
Thank you.
Alpharetta. And also Sharon from Alpharetta. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
And I know one of these, I think Caroline did a monthly donation. And so that means that Caroline is going to get... two digital gifts from the Apologetics Collection with Trent Horn. That's by Catholic Answers. And also everybody that I just mentioned there will get one free Magnificat magazine. It's one compliment, not the whole subscription, but just one. But it's good to try it out. And if you already get it, give it to somebody. I mean, they may get something that may bring them closer to the faith as well. So, we're talking about Catholic schools. And Mark... you were saying something during the break. We were talking about how the matching money and all that, and so I think we're gonna have matching money again here.
Yes, Natalie and I will match up to $2,500.
Wow!
Yes. Fantastic!
Wow! That is so generous. Thank you so much. Last hour when we did the matching funds, we started getting the calls in. So I know a lot of people sit there and wait. I'm not going to call until there's matching funds. Well, right now there is matching funds starting at 10:38 right now. So up until the top of the hour. So make sure you're calling in 470-508-1160. You can go to the Quest Atlanta app or thequestatlanta.com. And thank you very much. So who's taking it from here?
Yeah, so during the break, we were talking about, the benefits of Catholic education, even going back, earlier than high school. And, our children were blessed to be able to go to St. Jude from kindergarten through eighth grade. And sometimes just the habits that are developed, the discipline, the starting class with prayer, doing devotions, even though they might not take ownership of their faith till later in life, that's the fertile ground that is helping them. And, you know, because I know my parents are listening, I want to thank them for 12 years of Catholic education in my life, because it is a sacrifice. It's a financial sacrifice. You know, I'm sure we didn't always want to go to Mass, and we didn't, and, you know, our kids didn't. But I will say that, you know, as our daughters are in college now, they have taken ownership of their faith. And I just think those habits and that discipline early on is now blooming and flourishing, which is what you want.
Yeah, listen, I went to Catholic school and public school, pretty much 50-50, elementary school and then middle school, or we used to call it junior high. I went to a public high school and went to a public university for my undergrad work, and then I went to a Dominican university for my master's. But I go back to my elementary school, my first grade teacher, Sister Alipia. I have no idea what that name means. I've never heard of anybody named Alipia. But in first grade, she instilled in me a little bit of fear, right? But really just kind of an awe of, mm-hmm. here's this short little woman dressed in this habit, and she was different, right? And as a first grader, you know, that's the first time that I was really kind of exposed to, you know, seeing that kind of community lifestyle with these sisters. So for the first 6 years, right, I still remember the nuns that taught me. I think we can all remember the nuns that taught us. Things were a little bit different. I did get, I don't want to say slapped around.
The ruler to the back of the hand.
Yeah, I got my ears boxed by Sister Isabel as a sixth grader. Let me just confess, it was well-deserved. I was a wise guy in sixth grade. I thought I was the class clown, right? And it's funny, you know, I really, really never, it wasn't even on my radar that I wanted to be a teacher. I wasn't a good student. School was not that important to me. And it's amazing what the Lord does, right? It's like, If I was told when I was 12 or 15 or even 18, you're going to be in a Catholic school for 36 years, with two different Catholic schools, and you're going to be a youth minister, and you're going to be a campus minister, you're going to be leading retreats and so on. So I would have thought, there's no way that's me.
Right.
But you know, the Lord will take us where we are, and he's going, and if we open up ourselves to him, he's going to do what he wants, right? For his will, for his glory, and for the building up of the kingdom of God. But I do have to thank those early years, right, in my childhood, those sisters who really built and established a foundation of faith in me, right? I mean, looking back at it, that's how I see it.
Right.
I didn't realize that they were establishing a foundation of faith when I was 8 or 9 years old. I mean, nobody, no kid thinks that, right? But looking back at that, yeah. And I think if we all look back at our lives and see what the Lord has done in our lives, we should just drop on our knees and say, Lord God, thank you so much for what you've given us and what you've blessed us with. Yeah, I'm so blessed.
Well, you said something interesting, is what attracted you was the sister was different.
Yeah.
And, you know, we hear that, you know, Christians are attractive to people because we're different. And that's probably what you're encouraging your students is, look, it's not easy. It's not easy to be Christian. It's definitely not easy to be Catholic in this world. You're going to be different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And how, you know, how can we prepare you to go out into the world being different? Because young people don't like to be different.
Well, I mean, actually, young people like to be different, right? They really want to, but
right.
Unfortunately, they're so caught up in conformity, mm-hmm. right? And they're afraid to step out, right? They're afraid to step out. You know, I love what Paul writes to the Romans, right? You know, do not conform yourself to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your minds, right? He says that in Romans. And that's something that I try to give the kids to think about, is like, are you just going to go along with the crowd because everybody else is doing it? You know, what's your moral compass, right?
Right.
Who's your moral compass, right? Whose life are you leading? Are you leading your own life, or are you living your life, right, to please other people? And so I think that's part of it. And that's what I mean when I always go back to saying, you know, they're hungry. They want to hear that. They want to know, hey, it is okay to step out. It mm-hmm. is okay not to, you know, to break that conformity and maybe be a little different. And really, to be honest with you, you know, Christianity is countercultural, right? It is the most radical thing that we can do, is to not living for ourselves is easy. I'm selfish. Living for myself just comes really, really natural, right? But when you're in love with somebody, you no longer live for yourself, whether it's your wife, whether it's your kids, whether it's, you know, anything else that is above and beyond you, especially our Lord. Yeah.
Absolutely. I just want to mention too, I mean, you're talking about the, you know, your kids and Catholic school and everything. We've got some programs on the Quest, More to Life. They do a lot of great stuff with, you know, parenting tips and everything, even for parents of adult children. They've got a lot of advice too. The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray. He gives a lot of great advice too, but that's the kind of thing that the Quest brings to you. And if that's something you would like to support, you'd like to see it keep going, we need your donations. We need your pledges. We're looking for actually 100 new monthly pledges, or to increase, if you already are a monthly pledge giver, if you could increase that, we really need those so that we can kind of plan out the budget for the year. So call 470-508-1160. You can go to the Quest Atlanta app that's already on your phone. You can go to thequestatlanta.com. Or once again, that's 470-508-1160.
So, Mark, you talked a little bit about the Catholic elementary school and middle school experience, and I just wanted to say that we spent 11 really amazing years at St. Jude, and I know personally, I mean, I had the pleasure and the privilege of being a stay-at-home mom, and I was able to immerse myself a lot into the programming at St. Jude, and I can say without a shadow of a doubt that they do an outstanding job of educating our students with, you mentioned, you know, they start each and every day with morning prayers. We end with prayers. You won't find a space in that entire school that's not filled with the Holy Spirit and images of Christ and of the Blessed Mother, and all that you want your children to be surrounded with. And like, I had the pleasure also of doing the monthly rosary. I know they do it in the classroom, but we also did it outside of the classroom and prayed for each of the individual grades with the parents, which was very special. We've also talked today about leading by example, meaning going to Mass, encouraging your children to come to Mass with you, whether they want to or not, and to make it a priority in their weekend. Like if they know they have sports or they have classwork to do, homework, studying, it's still important that everyone knows that we go to Mass as a family, and to structure your day around that. Figure out what's going to be the best time that you can make it to Mass and we're not going to miss. And I think St. Jude did an amazing job of preparing our children for the sacraments. I mean, in second grade, I mean, the teachers are just phenomenal in what we do with, you know, First Communion. And in third grade, they have the emphasis on the saints. And we just, I remember when our kids were going through, there was always a buddy system where you had an older middle school student who mentored some of the younger students, and just so many wonderful programs that they do or our children experienced. And I know there's lots and lots of parents and families out there right now who are still living that in that environment. And I just wanted to say that I know beyond a doubt that it has made an impact on our family and the way our children have gone on to grow in their faith and to continue to live their faith.
Yeah, I remember early on, you know, some friends might make a comment that, like, you know, oh, well, your kids live in this bubble. And I used to think, oh, maybe that's not good. We want them to be exposed to everything. Well, as our world has progressed and things aren't so great on the outside, I think now, what better bubble to have your children in than a loving, Christ-centered bubble to send them out into the world? Like, you know, I remember a priest told me once, he's like, you can't get too much love, you know, to give your kids that foundation. You know, Dennis, you had mentioned something about, you know, moral questions. And I know your expertise, you know, is in Holocaust studies and looking back at history. If you wanted to share, you know, how you talk to your students about past experiences like that.
Sure. Let me go back, though, on the elementary thing for a second, because our children, I have a 28-year-old daughter, Alexandra, and my son, Jacob, is 23 and studying audio engineering at Middle Tennessee State. You know, they both went to St. Catherine of Siena in Kennesaw School. And I'll tell you what, the job that they did over there on both my kids was just really incredible. My son, in particular, you know, there were four Dominican sisters that were at the school at the time. I think now there's two, but that influenced him so much. All of his friends from St. Catherine of Siena, most of them went to Blessed Trinity. They went to BT. And of course, my son came to St. Pius. And I gave him the option, but he wanted to go to St. Pius. But to this day, he still hangs out with those boys, those kids from St. Catherine of Siena. So right. That's the kind of impression that he had from that school. And my daughter as well still hangs out with some of her friends from that particular period. As far as the moral question, I teach a course on Holocaust genocide. It's a semester-long course. You know, you're always dealing with morality in a theology class or a religion class. And those are the kinds of things that kids, I think, are searching. I think part of the reason is because, you know, they're receiving messages, bad messages, I might add, from the world. And so they're being told, they're being shown on their devices. They are, you know, a lot of this is being absorbed, a lot of garbage out there in the world. And then they come and they hear Catholic teaching on morality. And some students are upset. Some students take it very personal. But for me, as a theology teacher, I always have to teach the truth. And sometimes the truth is uncomfortable. Sometimes we have to face the reality of what is being put before us, right, in terms of what the church teaches. And I would say that is a very, very challenging aspect of what happens in the classroom. But you have to allow sometimes for a little dissent. Sometimes you have to allow for other opinions, but you always have to come back and bring them to the truth, right? And I can never compromise on that truth. Even as parents, we can never compromise on that truth. And again, that's that idea of they have to come in to the reality of take ownership for what it is, for what truth is, right? I'm always uncomfortable when I hear people talk about my truth, right? Your truth, their truth. I'm sorry, but there is an objective truth, right?
Right.
There's only one truth. And again, that is something that I bring into the classroom. Of course, not so dogmatically, but you want to be pastoral there, right? Because you want to be sensitive of where people are, where students might be, experiences that students may have had. And so you want to tell them what truth is, but you also have to be sensitive to where they are and pray for them, right? That's the most important thing. Surrender them to the Lord, pray for them, live out the truth, speak the truth. Yeah.
I think as probably, you know, you just expressed it as a teacher and as a parent, probably one of the most difficult things we struggle with is that when you're trying to teach your children love and compassion, but truth.
Right.
It is such a blurry,
right,
convoluted mix. Right. They cross because it's very hard to, you could be called unloving and uncompassionate, but you're speaking the truth.
I mean, and I were talking earlier, ultimately education, right, across the board,
right,
is to seek truth.
Right.
That's the goal of education. And we see in some of our schools and some communities throughout the country, that's not happening.
Right.
Right. That's not happening. And so again, the importance of Catholic schools, right? I know that not everybody has the funds, the opportunity, the ability to go to Catholic schools. But if you don't, there are other options. If your son or daughter goes to a public school, there's other opportunities in parishes and other ministries that are out there that you've got to get your kids involved in.
Well, yeah. You know, we did a five-part series with the Archbishop Hartmeier, and one of them was on Catholic education. And he was talking about that there are scholarships. If you can't afford it, that there are people who donate a lot of money to make sure that every kid...
The Grace scholarships also, I think, are
right.
important,
yes.
too.
Yeah, yeah. So I just want to let people know that is available if you can't afford a Catholic school.
Right. Yeah. St. Jude, I know, has... Well, obviously, they have Grace, but they have something called Guardian Angel, and mm-hmm. people just anonymously donate, and it would be for someone that couldn't afford, or, you know, maybe a parent has lost a job. But I agree. If you want it, finances, you know... hopefully would not be the obstacle.
If you look at the three diocesan high schools, I mean, you know, if you're looking at compared to some of the other private schools, non-sectarian schools, the prices of some of the cost of some of those schools, $27,000, $28,000.
Yeah.
Wow. We're nowhere near that. I mean, I know that sometimes Catholic education can be expensive, but I don't want to say it's a good bargain, but it's a good bargain.
It's a good value.
It's a good value. I like that. I like that.
Let me just jump in here. We got to wrap this up pretty soon. But I just want to thank a few people here because we still got the matching funds on the table here up to, what was it,
$2,500
from the Jubilackers. Thank you so, so much for that. But these people got in on the matching funds. We've got Matt from Decatur, and that is in honor of St. Pius High School classes of 1997 and 2027.
Wow.
And in honor of Dennis.
Wow. Thanks, Matt. Class of 97. That's just full of rock stars. That's a great class. It really is a great class.
Laura says thank you to the Jubilackers and Dennis. Laura's from Sandy Springs. Thank you very much. Arlene from Gainesville. Thank you. Who's Ella?
Well, we have a daughter, Ella.
I think that's who we're talking about here. Lori from Roswell says this is from Ella's high school cheer coach.
Aww,
with love,
thank you.
With love from BT.
Nice.
So thank you very much. And also Michael and Lisa for Mark and Natalie, a beautiful Catholic couple. Michael and Lisa are from Atlanta. So thank you all very much for that. And if you would like to get in on the matching funds, there's still just a little bit of time left here, just a few minutes, 470-508-1160. You can go to the Quest Atlanta app on your phone. There's a little donate button there you just tap, and then the questatlanta.com right on the front page here, you see the dollar sign with the donate. You can do that as well. We're looking to get 100 new monthly donors this pledge drive before between now and Thursday evening. 100 new, because our goal is $180,000. Sounds like a lot of money, but I learned recently... The electric bill, just to keep the transmitter on, we got a 50,000 watt transmitter, $36,000 a year.
Wow.
Just for the electric bill.
Right.
So we've
right.
got expenses. I mean, right. we're not frivolously just, wow. you know, willy-nilly throwing this stuff around. I mean, we to keep the station on the air, it does cost money.
Dave, what was that number again?
470-508-1160.
There we go.
Absolutely. Okay. So the last words here. Right?
I was just going to say, as you were reading off all of those names, probably the last thing we could say about benefits of Catholic education is friends and family that, you know, for Dennis, it's thousands of students. For us, it's other parents and friends that... you know, like-minded, same values that, as Dennis mentioned, his son is still friends with all of his buddies from St. Catherine of Siena. When our daughters go to church at Auburn, they're standing there with six or seven other kids. They might be from BT. There's one that's converting to Catholicism just because he was in the friend group and he was very attracted to the fact that they were different. But, you know, that's a huge part of the benefit of Catholic education is just the friends that you make, the network. Because, you know, we all have to support each other and hold each other accountable and, you know, just help get each other to heaven.
Well, and that's one thing, too, because my boys went to public school and my son was on the cross country team. And you meet other parents there. But then once you start to get to know them, you realize, you know what, I don't have a whole lot in common with this person, you know, whereas right. if you're meeting parents of other Catholic students, chances are a lot better that you've got a little something more in common with them.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. So we're about ready to wrap this up. Any last thoughts, any last words here on Catholic schools, Catholic education? I think it's all been said, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Mark and
Natalie.
It's
been fun. Thank you, guys.
Mark and Natalie Jubilacker, thank you very much. And Dennis Ruggiero.
That's it. We'll go with that.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
It was a good hour. We appreciate it.